pass that down.
No, if you want to help me. Sorry. It's apple core.
Okay. That's how I get the whole stack.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so before we begin, everyone's going to be getting a booklet. It's 10 pages long. Don't be overwhelmed by the Hebrew, because there is English generally next to every single paragraph that's in Hebrew. I find that, especially for a topic like we're talking today, sources are important. I'm going to say the general sources of where I got my information from, so that throughout the speech, in case I don't say something, you'll know that this is where the pool of information is from. It's not from here. I listened to a number of lectures on Torah Anytime. Rabbi Mordechai Becher spoke, Rabbi Sinheller, Rabbi Tversky, Rabbi Nissel. I read a few different books, Rabbi Ari Kaplan's book, Rabbi Shimshon Pinka's book. Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg has a book on the 13 principles of Emunah. Rabbi Becher also has a book on Judaism that talks about Emunah on Mashiach. So between all this information, we pulled together today's shiur. And I will do my best to quote as I can, besides for the Mefarshim, where I remember hearing each piece, but that's the general pool of knowledge where I access today's shiur. So last summer, Mrs. Torba came here, and she asked me if I would be willing to speak on this theme. We're still running the Emunah theme, the Ani Mamin. And the topic was going to be, that she asked me to do, was Mashiach. So gut reaction was, oh no, Mashiach is not for me. I'm not going to talk about Mashiach. And as she continued talking about, yeah, and you'll do it, and I'm not going to say no. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know what? Maybe this is not that bad. It was the summer. I was in my 9th month of pregnancy. And I thought about the concept of Mashiach and the Ani Mamim. And all we talk about is this idea of Achak Elo B'chol Yom She'yavo. And there is no greater mashal for this anticipation of something that you know is going to happen. You just don't know when, in your 9th month of pregnancy. Because any day could be that day. And then you're 9.5 months pregnant, and then it becomes, now we pack the suitcase. And I always tell my husband, until that suitcase is packed, I'm not having that baby. So I'm going to pack my suitcase, and now we're in the zone. And you put in your new pajamas and all the exciting things, and you're ready in the mindset, because tonight might be the night. And there's that feeling every day when you wake up, like, it wasn't last night. Okay. And then you start the next day, and you get closer and closer to that feeling. So when Mrs. Torgo said, can you speak about it? I'm like, I got this. I'm going to speak about Mashiach, because I understand what it means to really anticipate, to really feel. And anyone, frankly, that's had a child can understand that real feeling of, it could happen any moment. Because I know it's going to happen. I'm sure it's going to happen. I just don't know when it's going to happen. So that's the goal for today. The goal for today is to be able to transport that feeling of anticipation into something that we believe and we say all the time, B'vias HaMashiach, that Mashiach is going to come. Take that feeling and make it real to us today. And we're going to do that through three different ways. The first way is we're going to be able to learn what I would call Mashiach 101. We're going to go through the facts based on the Mishnah Torah and the Rambam and understand what it is that's predicted about the who's, the what's, the when's, the where's, the how's. In addition, we'll touch on a piece from Rabbi Tversky, which discusses the Emunah piece, the understanding of how we can navigate the Gullus concept. And then we're going to end off with practical ways of making this something that we can do, and of course, a nice, cute story that I've read and I think applies very well. So let's start with an introduction on your papers that you have. We are looking at page number 1. The sources are labeled, but the top of the page is labeled as well. We'll start off first, as you see, the Ani Mamin, Be'emuna Shlema, Ve'vias HaMashiach, Ve'afal Pi She'yisma Mea, Im Kol Ze Achakele V'chol Yom She'yavo. That is today's theme. I believe with perfect faith in the coming of Mashiach, no matter how long it takes, I will wait his coming every day. So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us something that we're familiar with in Pirkei Avos that tells us, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba, that everybody has a portion in the world to come. And that's source number 1. And you can look on the bottom where it's in English. And then the Gemara continues and tells us There are also ve'elu she'ein lahem chelek l'olam hava. Besides for those that have a chelek, these, everyone, general, but then there are people that are excluded from this privilege. And who are those that are listed? And it tells us, the people, ha'omer, ein tchiyas ha'mesem min ha'torah, the people that deny that tchiyas ha'mesem will happen. Ve'ein ha'torah min shemayim, the people that deny that Torah comes from shemayim. And an apikoros, the people that deny God himself. So three principles of faith that are written here in this Gemara in Sanhedrin, and people who fall into the category of denying one of these three things do not have a chilek amolam haba. No tzchias hamesim from the Torah, the Torah is not from Hashem, and anyone who obviously is an apikoros who doesn't believe in Hashem at all. And based on this Gemara, the Rambam comments on the Mishnah and brings about what we call the 13 principles of faith. He brings about the 13 principles as we list them as the Yud Gimel Ikarim, which we know in addition to the Ani Mamim are also listed in the song, the anonymous song that we say every day, Yigdal, which lists all of them as well. But these are the 13 principles of faith. And to go even further, they really are broken down into these three categories: Hashem's existence, Torah and Shemayim, and the concept of Tchiyas HaMesim. So how do we do that? So stay with me as we go through source number two. I've listed for you in English and Hebrew all of the Ani Mamim, and we're going to categorize them now into the three different categories of Hashem, Torah, and Tchiyas HaMesim. So the first one, the belief, as we know, and you've done this is a great review of everything you've been learning for the past year. What does it go on to tell us? We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we see, controls, created everything. So that's belief in God. The next one, the first five, are going to be the first category. We talk about Hashem being Yachid. He is one and only one, and there's no one else but him. The third Ani Mamim, that he has no physical body, ain't no guf. This is, again, describing Hashem and what he exists on. The fourth one, who Rishon Hu Acharon, he was in the beginning of time and the end of time. And the fifth one, as I spoke about last year, that he is the only one that we pray to. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's category number one, belief in Hashem in terms of our relationship with him, who he is, what he can do, etc. Category number two, belief in Torah. And that is starting with number six. Shekol Divnei Nevi'im Emes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to man. And prophecy is Emes, is true. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi that we ever had. Number seven. Number eight, Shekol HaTorah, everything that we have today. He HaNisuna that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, it hasn't been tampered with. The same Torah we have today is the same Torah we had then. Number nine. Again, it's not going to be changed. It's not going to be added or taken away from. That's category number two. And finally, category number three, which is the concept of Tchiyas HaMesim. Number one, that Hashem knows everyone's thoughts of what they do all day. So there's going to be an understanding of the things that we've done. That Hashem will give reward and punishment in number 11. That Hashem will bring Mashiach in number 12. And number 13, the concept of Tchiyas HaMesim. Tchiyas HaMesim, in general, is this idea, as we call schar and onesh, reward and punishment, and that includes all of these pieces. That there is going to have to be a day where we're going to have to explain the things that we've done, there'll be reward for the things that we've done, there'll be punishment for the things that we've done, and included in this category is the idea of Mashiach. So the question is why? Why is Mashiach stuck in with Tchiyas HaMesim, the fact that Hashem knows our thoughts, the fact that there's reward and punishment? Why is he stuck in there? And the answer, according to most of the people that I've listened to, is this idea that Mashiach, the Yemos HaMashiach, the times that we're talking about when Mashiach will come, is a completion of Hashem's master plan for this world. Hashem created the world. There's a mission for the Jewish people as a nation. We have a Torah to follow. We have mitzvot to do. We have things to do throughout our lives. And when Mashiach comes, that is the completion of this entire plan. We have a covenant, an eternal covenant with Hashem, that we will be his nation, he will be our king. He gives us the different kinds of rules, so to say, and lifestyle that he wants us to live. And at the end of time, as we follow what he would like to do, he will then bring it to fruition at the end. And in the times of Mashiach, it's described as a time when we'll have understanding of everything that has happened throughout history. As we travel through history, there's a lot of questions. We don't understand where Hashem was, why Hashem did what he did. And Yemos HaMashiach is a time where we look back and we say, okay, now I understand. It's that, oh, now I get what happened. Over the thousands of years that Klal Yisrael have been in Gullus. Gullus is a time of question. Geula is a time of answer. And Mashiach does just that for us. Rabbi Warnberg explains the concept of a body that's made up of many cells. There are many people that were very good people that kept Torah and mitzvot, and they will not be here at the time of Yemos Mashiach. That's reality. They've passed on. So it's not an individual per se that these people are lucky to get Mashiach to come, but just as there are cells in the body that dies and new cells come, but we're all part of one body as a nation. This is a national concept for us, where Jews over the course of time have a mission. And when Mashiach comes, we are celebrating that idea, where we as a nation have completed our task and Hashem will reward us. It's a national destiny. And therefore, it belongs in this category. When we talk about Schar and Onesh, when we talk about reward and punishment, so Mashiach is the culmination of all of that. It's pulling it all together. We've been working. Comes Mashiach, which we're going to talk about in a minute in Mashiach 101, and he is going to bring it all together and explain why things happen. And then we'll have an opportunity, as we know, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu calmly, without pressures of society, and just be able to foster our relationship with him, as we'll soon see. So that's why it falls into this category. Okay, what's a world without Mashiach? Well, that's us today. Well, let's describe in detail what this world is like today. So we know that the Jews are dispersed amongst the world. We are subjugated to values, culture, from other nations that not necessarily align themselves with what we consider Torahic. There is pain, there is suffering, there are things we don't understand that goes on in today's world. There are many barriers that are built between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I always give this mashal to my girls when I talk about before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And we talk about how Aseres Mitzvah is the time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and it's an opportunity to get close to him. And the mashal that I use is, imagine that I have two very powerful magnets, okay? Here's magnet one and here's magnet two. And if you bring them close, they're obviously going to pull together, and I'm not going to be able to pull them apart so far. But then slowly but surely, I start to add pieces of paper in between them. They're still sticking very, very hard. And then I add a textbook, and then I add a phone book, and then I start to add more and more layers in between, and eventually the magnets fall down. So over the course of a year, that's what happens between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But over the course of history, in Gullus, that has what happens to us as a people in our relationship with Hashem, where we've created barriers. And so our excitement and energy and love and, oh, Hashem, let's serve Hashem, has sort of died. Because there's so many barriers between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the energy is lacking. That is Gullus. That is life without Mashiach, where we don't wake up and think and feel and have a focus of the energy that Klal Yisrael could have had if all these barriers wouldn't be between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's almost like a reception with a phone, which everyone's familiar with. As soon as you get into the elevator and you start going down floors, eventually you lose reception. So as many levels there are going to be between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, eventually the reception is going to die. So that's the world that we talk about. You know, I was zochet to be in Eretz Yisrael a couple of years ago. I haven't been there since like seminary, and I was there with my family, and you know, years have gone by. I have a whole family now. I was single last time I was here. Here I am with my four kids, and we're taking a tour of Ir David, and we're looking upon Har Habayis. And it was the first time in my life where I was angry. And I looked upon Har Habayis and I said, you don't belong there. Like, there is this gold mosque, and we all see it. And it's all part of the Kol Sel picture with the gold mosque right there. But that's not the Beis HaMikdash. And I think to myself, like, my Tisha B'Av this year is going to be different. Because I felt pain, and I got angry, and I felt like this is what Hashem looks down upon. Where this is his place, and his people, and his Har Habayis, and that's not his Beis HaMikdash. But does everyone feel that? Does everyone get angry and feel like, this is not right? Hashem's not here. We don't feel his Shechina. We're not involved. This is Gullus. Apathetic. All right, we'll get through it. Let's just fix the house. Let's get another car. Let's do this. Let's do this. He'll come. But I'm going to still, you got to make it work here. And we do very well. We make it work here. But what we're losing is that excitement and relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what are we going to do today? Today, that was our introduction. Today, we are going to talk about the who, what, when, where, and how about Mashiach. We'll get through the facts, like I said, and then we'll conclude with some good practical stuff. So on your paper, we're still on paper number two. We're halfway through. Who are we waiting for is the question that we're going to start with. So the Rambam and Mishneh Torah says, and everything is quoted here. There's a website, Sefaria, if I pronounce it correctly, which I've been using, which really has everything online and translated as well. So I can't vouch for the spelling. I'm assuming it's correct. But I did copy and paste a lot of the information from there because it's translated and it's exactly what I want to say. Just so that you know, which I heard from Rabbi Becher, that the Rambam, his commentary on the Mishneh, which talks about the original concepts of Mashiach, is written in Judeo-Arabic, and I tried to read it. But then when he talked about it again, the Rambam, the second time in his Mishneh Torah, it's easy Hebrew, as you'll see, for those of you who are comfortable reading Hebrew, even though there is English translation, where that's why I copied all of it from there, in terms of him going through the details of what it will be in the times of Mashiach. So, source number three, it tells us as follows. There's going to be someone who has to be from the house of David. It has to be from the Davidic dynasty. That is someone who is Osek b'Torah and Mitzvos. He has to be someone that is studies Torah and Mitzvos kifi Torah shebichtav v'shealpeh. A good Jew. That's what he has to be. That's part number one. And he continues. And he's going to have certain qualities. Source number four, Yeshaya tells us. V'nacha alav ruach Hashem, ruach chachma ubina, ruach etza ugvura, ruach da'as v'yiras Hashem. He's not going to be an average person. He's going to be blessed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and fear of Hashem. A really good Jew that has understanding and is able to relate and explain and help everyone amongst Klal Yisrael. So we're talking about a human being from the Davidic dynasty, but will be blessed with these wonderful gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to talk and help and counsel all of Klal Yisrael on our mission. And we'll soon see what that is. What will he do? So there's a list of six things that he will do. The Rambam says five in a row, but the sixth one is number one on my paper, is the general concept. What does he say? So these are all quoted from the Rambam as well. Bottom line is, ultimately, he's going to get the whole world to want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically the Jews, that we're going to be excited and we're going to serve Hashem and we're going to see how we're going to serve Hashem. But that has to happen, that we're going to get all Jews in the world to serve Hashem and the rest of the world will acknowledge Hashem's presence as well. Okay. What else will he do? So look at two, this is source number five. Number two, he's going to bring back the Davidic dynasty. We're going to have kings. Number three, Ubona HaMikdash. He's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Turn the page. Number four, Mekabetz Nidchei Amo Yisrael. He's going to gather in all the Jews from all the exiles. We're all dispersed. Number five, he's going to bring back the concept of Mishpat, of judgment, of Sanhedrin. We're going to have our own court system. Number six, Makrivan Karbanos. He's going to bring back the concept of sacrifices, Shemitah and Yovel, like it says in the Torah. That's what he's going to do. And Yeshaya continues and tells us in the psukim there, V'ashiva shovtayach kavirishona, we're going to have judgment like we had in the old days. It's going to be emistic. It's going to be a time of ir tzedek, as it describes. Sion mishpat tifta, this is A and B and C. V'heirichu b'yiras Hashem, he's going to judge us and he's going to have fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shofet b'tzedek dalam, these are all talking about what he's going to do. He's going to be so righteous. He's going to be so fear. He's going to be so tzedek. This is the person that's going to come. And what is going to gird him? The concept of emuna and tzedek. This is the person that we're talking about. Someone who everyone will recognize as someone who really is dedicated to Torah and mitzvos and wants to just bring the Bnei Yisrael back to where they are. Continues number seven. He is not allowed to. Lo so sifu al davar shonoch mitzvah eschem lo sigru. You cannot add to Torah. He cannot come up with new mitzvos. As soon as he does, he's off the charts. He cannot take away any mitzvos. As soon as he does, we X him out. So there are false messiahs, as we know with Shabtai Tzvi, a perfect example. We're eventually converted to Islam. So no, you're not the Mashiach. Even if people really were following for him, because he had us going, he was doing good things up until a point. And then he stopped. So he has to be someone that's not going to change Torah and mitzvos. Someone that's going to keep Torah and mitzvos. And number eight, very important. Ve'im lo hitzliach. And if along the way of him trying to do all the things listed above, he is not successful. O neharag. Or he is killed, says the Rambam. B'yadua she'eno zeshev ticha lav Torah. We know that this is not what Torah is telling us. If he dies, he's not it. It can't be. The Torah is telling us he has to do all the different things. And if, unfortunately, as you see in the English on bottom, but if he does die, then this is not what the Torah is promising us. Page number 4. Continues the Rambam and it tells us, but if he's able to do the listing, v'yachov kol Yisrael, he gathers the people. V'yilachem, and he fights our wars. Hareza b'cheskas. Then he's like, oh, he's a candidate. We have someone who's getting there. And he continues. And if he continues to do everything else on the list, v'masav etzliach, ubana b'samigdash, b'mkomo v'kibetz nidchei harei ze mashiach b'vadei. According to the Rambam, as long as he gets through that list, successfully, alive, gathers the people, builds the Beis HaMikdash, restores A, B, whatever we talked about, then that's Mashiach. And he'll help the world, as we said before, go ahead and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what it's a list. He's got to get through the list. We need someone who's going to come in, and he's going to gather the people and build the Beis HaMikdash. And that's great, it's a human being, we can understand this. What will he not necessarily do? And this is according to the Rambam. Again, there could be other opinions, but this is our main source of where we go. Number 10. Ve'im va'al ya'ala al datcha sha'melech ha'mashiach tzarech lasos osos u'mosim. Who says he has to be a magician? He doesn't. He doesn't have to make miracles. He doesn't have to mechadesh dvarim ba'olam, create new things in the world. Or mechayim mesim. None of that. How do we know that? So the Rambam explains what happened with Rabbi Akiva. In the days of Rabbi Akiva during the Roman time, they really believed that Bar Koziba, which we call Bar Kochva, was a candidate. And he was. Until he was killed. And then it was over. That's it. And that's what the Rambam brings down. There are people that can be candidates. And they really felt that he had all the capabilities to do it. Except he was killed. So then the story's over. And we start again. Okay. Let's go to number 11. How do we know that he's really coming? I know I'm having a baby. How do I know he's really coming? So the answer is, according to the Rambam, and I, you know, in my initial research, I was reading through the books, Rabbi Kaplan, and this one, and that one, and anytime there was a footnote, I went to the footnote, saw the footnote, got the pasuk, then copy and pasted it onto my sheet, so I had like all these sukkim there, and then I open up the Rambam at the end, backwards, and see that, oh, feel free to just list them all in a row, now that I just spent all the time cutting and pasting each one, and then he puts it in a paragraph, the whole thing. So number 11, v'chol mi she'eino ma'amin, and anyone who doesn't believe, o mi she'eino mechakeh, and if you don't wait for him, Lo b'shar neviim b'lad, it's not just in the neviim that you're kofer in, because the neviim talk about it so much. Ela b'Torah u'b'Moshe Rabbeinu. You're kofer in the Torah. The Torah itself hints to the fact that Mashiach's going to come. So how do we know he's coming? Because it says it in the Torah, all over, in the 5 books of the Torah, as well as all the neviim. And he quotes them. If you'll see on the, you can look at the English if you'd like, and if you'd like to follow with me in the Hebrew, v'shav Hashem Elokecha eshevoscha, Hashem is going to return all your captives. If you're spread out, in midacha mikitzei Hashemayim, it doesn't matter where you are, if you're all spread out, v'evi'acha Hashem, Hashem is going to bring you back, and there's sources that talk about Bilam prophesizing about Mashiach coming. And he breaks down one after another about the days, V'ala Moshi and Bahar Tzion at the lower end of the paragraph, that he's going to come. There's proof in so many areas that he's going to come. And you just have to open up Nevi'im and read them. And you just have to look in the Torah and read them, because that is not a question. When will he come? When will he come? We don't know. We don't know when he comes, but we do know one thing. And that is source number 12, page 5. Yishlach l'kitzayem mishichenu, as it says in Yigdal, liftot mechakekeis Yeshua show. He's going to send the Messiah at the end of the days to redeem those who wait for his final redemption. We don't know when he's going to come, but we do know we need to wait for him. There needs to be that concept of mechaka, that we're all waiting for him, as it brought down in Habakkuk also. Ki od chazon lamor v'yipach laketz, v'lo yikazev. A person has to be able to wait for him, even if he tarries, in yismamea, chakelo, ki vo yavo, v'lo yach. He's going to come. You have nothing to worry about. He is going to come at some point. We do know that he won't come on Shabbos and Yantif. That the Gemara in Avram brings down. It's a complicated piece. I am not here to understand all of it. But basically, in Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg's book, he does quote this Gemara, and he says he's not coming on Yantif and Shabbos, connected to drinking and the wine that one drinks and blah, 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 blah. I don't know the details of it, but I do know that piece is what he brings down. Continues the Rambam and tells us, quoting this Gemara in Sanhedrin as well as the Rambam in source number 13 and 14, we don't know when he's going to come, but it's not our job to figure it out. There are people that feel like, I'm going to figure it out. There are this many years in the world, and there's this many this and this. comes the Gemara in Sanhedrin and tells us, if you look at the English, which I'm going to read because it's a little bit not so... He says, may those who calculate the end of days be cursed. That's not your job to sit here and calculate when he's going to come. You need to believe that he will come. And the Rambam tells us, and it's very important, he says, it's vague. The reality is that it's vague. We don't understand. Dvarim stumim. It's hidden information. We don't know exactly when Mashiach is going to come. But we shouldn't busy ourselves with it. She'ein mevi'en lidei yira v'lo ava. This is not going to better our relationship with Hashem if we sit with calculators and try to figure out when Mashiach is going to come. So that's not our job. Our job is to believe, and that's it. And then anticipate, as we'll soon see. What will the days of Mashiach look like? So we know what they don't look like, because that's what we're living in now. I described that in the beginning. What is life without Mashiach? What is life with Mashiach? So Rabbi Nissel, when he spoke, he gave a whole modern day version of what Mashiach is going to be. He was speaking to the main group in the five towns, and he brought in the whole concept of how Mashiach is going to come, and he brought it back to life, and he said, I am using the sources from the Nevi'im to give you a picture of what it was, and if that will help you visualize so that you can anticipate more, then even if I'm exaggerating a little bit, but at least you'll have an understanding and get excited about a time when Mashiach will be here. What will it look like? So comes the Rambam and tells us source number 15. Al ya'ale alei she'bimos Mashiach yibatel davar minago she'olam. According to the Rambam, life will be pretty much the same. We're not going to enter this like new time zone where things are going to function differently. But according to the Rambam, things will pretty much be the way of the world. So then his question is, then how do we deal with all this prophecy? Like it says in Yeshaya, V'gar ze'evim keves v'namir im gedi your buds. How do we deal with the fact that the wolf is going to live with the sheep and the leopard is going to lie with the kid? How do we do this? So the Rambam says it's very simple. They're all metaphors. It's symbolic of the concept of peace. There's just going to be peace. Things will be tranquil. We won't have to stress about war, about famine. We'll be able to focus on the things that we need to do, and that is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings down all the different sukkim in source number 15a. All the different sukkim, again, all describing this idea of peace and a lack of wars. In Yeshaya B, 15b, the bottom of the page. V'shafapin ha'goyim v'uchiyach la'amim rabim. V'chetetu charbosayim, he brings them and he says that they're going to have beat their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Meaning, there's not going to be war. Things are going to be calm. Page number 7. Asida eretz yisrael shetotzi gluska oats v'kli milas. As it brings them into Hillel and Yehi, peace out barba oretz. Eretz yisrael is going to be a land that's going to produce incredible amounts of things, and there's going to be export and import. The economy will be wonderful. Source D, the amduzarim v'utzarechem, and we'll have people that will help us in whatever ways we need, whether it's with our flocks, or they'll be our plowmen, or they'll be our vine trimmers. All of this is going to happen. Continues the Rambam, source number 16. Amru chachamim ein bein ha'olam hazeh imos Mashiach ela shibud malchus bolvad. The goal of the time of Mashiach is to have a time when we are not under anyone's rule, except for our Kadosh Baruch Hu's. We don't, as he brings down, Shibud Malchus Bovad, this idea of that no one's going to bother us, and we'll ultimately be able to know, is there going to be a war? Yeah, the Rambam brings down, there's going to be Mechemes Gog u'Magog, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, and that's written in the paragraph 16. But the reality is the purpose of this war, and all of this is to be able to create a time of peace, as he brings out in 17, that there won't be Ra'av, that there won't be Mahama. For what goal? For what goal, 17? Ela lo ye'ese kol ha'olam ela lada'as es Hashem bilvad. Just to get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No distractions. It's like Shabbos is like a little bit of a window of it. We talk about Me'ein Olam Haba, where we shut our phones and we don't go to work, and it's like a time to spend time with Hashem and our family. But that's the idea of, like, you know, have a couple wants to get away for a few days or even a night and like everyone leave everything behind. So we don't have to stress about work and we're not stressing about anything. So this is the time of Mashiach where we can focus on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not worry about the money, and not worry about the wars, and not worry about society, and not worry about culture, but really be able to plug in to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what 18 says here. Ela kedei underline to you, pnuyim b'Torah v'chachmaseha. The purpose of Mashiach is not that we're going to rule the world, as he brings down. That's not why we want it. Not that we can be in charge of everyone. It's that we can be in charge of ourselves. And when we are in charge of ourselves, we can do what we love most. And that is nurture and build our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And page 8, B, C, D, E, F, and G, all quote psukim from the Nevi'im, which talk about this time. Ki mala aretz de'as Hashem. And the world will know about Hashem. And it will be a time in C, nasati es Torah, si bekirbam, ba'alibam. It's going to be in your hearts. You're going to love Torah and mitzvot. And D talks about that people are not going to talk about each other except do es Hashem. Let's get to know Hashem. And E, v'haya Hashem l'melech al kala aretz. Hashem's going to be king over everyone. And he continues in F, and Hashem's going to remove this stone that's on our heart. And inside we're going to have a relationship with Hashem. And G, ki az ha'apolch el everyone is going to want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the days of Mashiach. It's not this miraculous thing that comes down from the heavens and everything. Slow down. It's going to be a human being. He's going to come. He's going to gather us. He's going to help us. He's going to teach us. He's going to guide us. And we're going to have a time period where we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we want to do what we love most. And that is get to know, keep his Torah and his mitzvot. So that's the who, what, when, where, and how. That's Mashiach 101. That gives us the basic information as to what the purpose of Mashiach is, who he is, what he's going to do, what he's not going to do, and what we can anticipate in terms of the vision of what Mashiach is. There's a Rashi, which I think everybody is familiar with, that talks about the concept of Mashiach in Bereishis. At the very end, page 9, we know that Yaakov calls his children together. And he says to them, page 9, source number 19, Vayikra Yaakov al banav yomer, hey asfu, gather together, va'agita lachem es asher yikra aschem ba'achar esayim. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen at the end of time. Okay, comes Rashi and says, va'agita lachem, bikesh Yaakov legalos es hakeit. He wanted to tell them when the end was going to be. V'nistalka mimena shechina v'heschil amar tarmachim. And then the shechina left him and he started to say other things. So it's like, it was almost there. He was going to tell us when it was going to happen, and then it left. Yaakov had a plan, and Hashem says, nothing doing. Is that really what's going on here? So comes the Gemara in Pesachim and tells us, let's see what happened. Yaakov gathers his sons together, and again, he wants to tell them what's going to happen, and the Shechina leaves him. And he thinks to himself, Shema chas v'shalom, maybe there's someone in this room that's not zocha to hear when Mashiach will come. And then his children respond to him, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They say this proclamation that we say every day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem our God is one. And then Yaakov responds, Baruch Shem Kavod Machol Sol V'Yolam Va'ed, as we see in the paragraph that I have there. Rabbi Twersky takes a whole different spin on this conversation. And he says as follows. What did Yaakov want to tell them? Bikesh legalos esakeitz. He wanted to explain to them the secret of what is going to bring the geula. What is the secret? The secret is v'nistalka mimena shechina. The shechina is going to pull back, and there's going to be a cloud of questions, of darkness, and we're not going to understand why things happen. When we're in Gullus, we're going into Gullus. Yaakov knows Bnei Yisrael are going into Gullus. There's going to be 200 years of slavery. There's going to be a lot of questions. V'nistalka mimena shechina. He wants to tell them, how are you going to deal with this? And what's the answer? His children say to him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem, as we know, the name that signifies Rachamim. Elokeinu, the name that signifies judgment, din, questions, pain. It all comes from one source. Yaakov Avinu tells his children, I need you to know this message, that we're going to be in Gullus not once, not twice, but a few times. And when it's dark and the Shechina doesn't feel like it's there, you need to be able to make this statement with confidence. That even though we don't feel Hashem's presence, and even though we don't understand why things are happening, it's coming from one God. The same concept of Elokeinu and the same concept of Rachamim is all, Shema Yisrael is Echad. That is the secret to getting through Gullus. We talk about now, we're in Gullus. So at Emunah, this is what we're learning here. So how do we navigate this? How do we we know what we want to get. We're working on that anticipation. But now is the time where we're not there yet. We're in the zone of questions. So the answer is Shema Yisrael. The answer is recognizing that everything we experience is coming from a loving Father in heaven, and there is a master plan. And at that time of Mashiach, we will look back and understand everything as a nation that we've gone through, and every single time that we've experienced things that were uncomfortable for us, we will have clarity. That is the, so to say, it seems like the hope, so to say, for the doom and gloom that we suffer now. But that's what Yaakov Avinu was communicating with them. This idea of recognizing that in the Golus itself, that is the understanding. When the Shechina's not there, we have to be able to say with conviction that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Okay, so let's go practical now. I finished preparing the basic ideas a few nights ago, and then I took out my sitter to Daven Marv. And I'm davening Shmoneh Esrei, and as I'm going through Shmoneh Esrei after preparing for many hours, I like get so excited. I'm reading through Shmoneh Esrei, and I get to see it in a whole different way. I've never seen it before. We're like halfway through Shmoneh Esrei, and all of a sudden I hit the brachos. Look at 21. Tka b'shofar gadol. We blow the shofar. We're talking about the ingathering of exiles. I'm thinking to myself, like, I know this list. We just went through this list. I know what this Mashiach is going to do. And all of a sudden, when I've been teaching Shmoneh Esrei and learning Shmoneh Esrei and davening Shmoneh Esrei, I see the list in front of me. That he's going to bring in the exiles. Number 21a. Hashiva Shoftinu. He's going to restore judgment. We're going to have a Sanhedrin. 21b. 21c. V'lam Ashtinim. And the enemies that bother us and annoy us. What's going to happen? He's going to get rid of them. So that what can happen? D. Ala Tzadikim. So that Tzadikim can do what they need to do. And trust in Hashem and study his Torah. V'lishlayim Erechan. He's going to bring back the Beis HaMikdash. The whole Shmona Esrei that we say every single day, the whole second half of the Bakoshos, is all this theme of HaKadosh Baruch Hu restoring and bringing us the days of Mashiach. It's not that hard to make it practical, because if we daven, then practically speaking, we have it every day. It's there, the list is in front of us, and we read through what it is that we're anticipating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do and restore. And then we get to 22, which is Es Semach David. This idea that Hashem is going to bring a sprout, so to say, of David, that's going to grow, as we say. And then look in the English, it says over here, for your salvation we hope every day. That Hashem, is planting this Yeshua. And in Yeshaya, when it talks about Mashiach as well, it tells us, "Vayetze chatar migeza Yishai v'notzar misharshav Yifra, a shoot shall grow out of a stump of Yishai, a twig shall sprout from his stock." Talking about also the concept of Mashiach, plant imagery. What's with the plant? Couldn't come up with anything else. Like, what's the idea of planting? So many years ago, my grandparents lived around the corner from me, growing up in Brooklyn, and my grandmother had this book that I always liked. It's called The Carrot Seed. Now, I haven't been to my grandparents' house for a long time, and I certainly haven't gone through their bookshelf. But it was one summer in camp, and I felt like my kids just needed some books. We were in camp, and like we didn't have a library. So I went onto, Amazon, and I started ordering like classic books, like Where the Wild Things Are, like things that I grew up with, and I just felt like we need to have these in the bungalow. And then I saw this book came up. I'm like, Savta had this book. I need to order this book for my kids. And I ordered the book for my kids, and it's not like this exciting book. But I read it, and as I was preparing this, I'm like, this is plant imagery. I'm going to read the book. It's very short. But if you never read this book before, it just happens to be interesting that he has a yarmulke on. He's not Jewish, neither is his father. But it's just funny that in this book he has a yarmulke on. It goes like this, okay? The carrot seed. A little boy planted a carrot seed. I don't know if you can see my pictures. His mother said, "I'm afraid it won't come up." His father said, "I'm afraid it won't come up." And his big brother said, "It won't come up." Leave it to the big brothers. Every day, the little boy pulled up the weeds around the seed and sprinkled the ground with water. But nothing came up. And nothing came up. Everyone kept saying it wouldn't come up. But he still pulled up the weeds around it every day and sprinkled the ground with water. And then one day, a carrot came up. Just as the little boy had known it would. So why does this make me think of Mashiach? Because that's what it's about. Planting You throw a seed in the ground, it's dirty, it's dark, and you sit there, and you wait, and nothing's happening. All you see is mud. And we sit in mud, in Gullus, and we wait. We planted this seed, and we're waiting for this to happen. And you know what Rabbi Becher speaks about? I think that, you know, we talk about like we're right before the days of Mashiach. He says, you don't need emuna. You don't need so much emuna. He describes it as that picture. The picture of when this comes out of the ground, where now you know something's happening. Rabbi Becher explains, we have the infrastructure. We have a Jewish state. We have a Jewish government. You don't like it? That's okay. But we have the infrastructure to be able to communicate to the whole world at one shot. We have the internet. To fly all the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, we have planes. There is so much that he set up. He brings down so many. We're producing. Remember the Nevi'im talk about? Eretz Yisrael imports. It exports. Ish tachas gafno. People are producing wine. We have all the things the Nevi'im are talking about. Everything's set up. He says, you don't need so much emuna. We just need to now get to that point where we're going to have someone that's going to come from within us and be able, we have the Jewish army, he even says. Like, everything is set up. We have to be able to look at what we've had and see everything we've learned and recognize that it is a seed that's been planted. And it's our job, as we talked about in the beginning, to wait, to yearn, to hope, to anticipate. Some people, it's through davening. Some people, it might be preparing that suitcase and having it ready, like what I'm going to wear when he comes. Something that really makes it real and concrete to us. And like we say in source number 23, and I'll conclude with this, Benisin Nigalu uBenisan Asidin Liyael. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that in Nisan, we were taken out many years ago in Mitzrayim. And in Nisan, this coming month, Asidin Liga'el, and it is my wish for everyone that Emirat Hashem, this coming Nisan, we too should be able to see the Mitzvah Mashiach.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.